Hello and welcome. You're about to enjoy another exciting message from Adversary Christ the King. Here at ACTK, we believe in bringing people in to believe, building people up to belong, and sending people out to serve. If you have any other questions about our beliefs and values, or would just like general information about the different resources here at Adversary Christ the King, you can visit our website at www.actk.ca. Now let's listen to this week's message.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to starting our new sermon series. I am really excited about our new sermon series that we have today. We're going to be going over the time and season, real deal. This thing that God had placed in my heart, this burden that God had placed in my heart is real deal Christians, real deal Christianity. What does that look like? How is that lived out in our lives? As we call ourselves followers or believers in Jesus Christ, well, what does that really mean? What's the real deal or what's the truth about that? What would God have for us to know and to understand? What does that look like to be a real follower of Jesus Christ? What are the earmarks of that? What are the characteristics of really following after Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? What does that mean to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, what does that look like in our very lives? And so we're going to be spending a time and season now talking about the real deal Christianity, real deal following after Jesus Christ. Anybody want to be a real deal believer? Yeah, me too. And I want to be walking us through what's foundational truths for us to be a real deal follower of Jesus Christ. And the burden that God placed for me here today as we launch our new sermon series here is the foundational understanding here for us to talk about here today is worship. Focusing about worship, the groundwork and foundation of all of us as believers here of worship. What does that mean? What does that look like to be a real deal worshiper of God? And we're going to be spending some time, and we're going to be talking about the account here of God in the book of Exodus, God delivering his people from Egypt. God delivering the Israelites from over 400 years of bondage here to the Israelites in captivity for their Egyptian oppressors. God delivering them. Now, you might be questioning, well, what is God delivering people, Moses, using Moses? You guys remember that account? Ten Commandments, God delivering the plagues, right? Yeah, delivering his people. Well, what on earth does that have to do with worship? And here's the point of focus here. It has a whole lot to do with worship. Because here, let's take a look. There's Exodus here, Exodus chapter 7, verse 16. Here's God's instruction to Moses. Then say to him, his direction, telling Moses what to tell Pharaoh here, time and time again. This is God's direction here. Moses telling the Pharaoh, he says, then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 and verses 20 here. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the river and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Exodus chapter 9, verses 1 and 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Exodus chapter 10, verse 3. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. So Moses and so here it is. Do you get the hint here? What is the reason why God calls and says, let my people go? Yes, it's foundational, God's heart and his mind, his purpose, the delivering of his people from Egypt, from the bondage from the Egyptian captives and slavery. God says, let my people go, calling out the Pharaoh, let my people go. And the whole point and the purpose of God delivering his people is so that his heart, what is on God's heart, what is on God's mind and burden, is so that his people may come in God's presence to worship him. That the whole point and the focus for God delivering his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt is so that they can come and be in God's presence to worship. To worship God, to be in God's presence, to worship him, to celebrate who God is, to give him thanks, to be offering up praise and thanks offerings to him, sin offerings to him, be communing with the Lord his God so that they may worship him. And here's the point that we need to understand here, to put context here for us as Christians here in the 21st century, that the whole point and purpose for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The whole point and purpose for our salvation, what for God to deliver us from the bondage of sin, from physical death, for eternal life, for God to deliver us and grant us forgiveness, for God to save us, what is the point and purpose for us? Now you guys are sharp. To worship God. That's the whole point, right? Absolutely. Here it is. God saves us so we can worship him. God saves us so that we can worship him. What is God's heart and burden? And not in his mind here, his point is for purpose to deliver us from whatever chains that bind us, for whatever our slaves, for bring us salvation here, is so that we can worship him. That first and foremost, God wants us to know here that here it is, that real deal followers of Jesus are first and foremost here, real deal worshipers. Let me repeat that again if you don't see it up on the slide. Real deal followers of Jesus here now are real deal worshipers. That first and foremost, we're going to be real deal followers of Jesus Christ. The whole point and purpose for our salvation here, first and foremost, in God's heart and his mind, to bring us deliverance, to bring us freedom, and so that we could be free and delivered so that we can worship him, so that we can be in his presence, so we can give him thanks and celebrate who he is. So we could come before him, confess our sins, that we could celebrate before our God and offer him our thank and praise offerings. It's on God's heart. It's on God's mind. It's on his agenda that first and foremost, we are worshipers. That if we are real deal Christians, in our hearts, in our minds, in our focus, the burdens of our lives is to worship God. That we are to be called and brought forth to be worshipers of God. That God's point to deliver us, to save us from all our sins, to give us the gift of the eternal life, is so that we can worship him now and forevermore. That's a point, that's a picture that God even paints for heaven for us. We are worshiping God, collectively worshiping God, being brought in his presence to worship him. And today what I want to talk about is specifically Pharaoh and his response to Moses as he calls as Moses confronts Pharaoh and says, let my people go, deliver them so that they may worship God. And what is Pharaoh's response? Because here's Pharaoh here representing this mindset of saying, I am not going to be letting God's people go. I won't do that. I don't want them to be worshiping here. I am going to, in his response, what are some of the things that he talks about that actually we can talk about as well in our present day that holds us back, that does not allow us to be truly worshipers for God, that diminish our capacity to be able to worship God by God's very design, to be in his presence, to worship him? What holds us back? And we're going to be talking about some of the deceptions here, deceptions that prevent us from being real deal worshipers. Some deceptions, some lies as we look at Pharaoh's words here that prevent us from real deal worship. So the first thing, let's talk about the first deception here. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. After Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival, that means celebration, worship to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." What I underline here in the text is who should I obey? Who's the Lord I got that I should obey him? Now here's the thing here. Pharaoh here, I mean, as after Moses says, God says, "Yeah, let the people go." Then, well, who's God? You're saying to go and worship him? Well, who's God to me? Why do I have to even obey him? Now, I mean, this calling for worship, you want me to be a part of that? Why should I even obey God to let you to worship here? Now, here, what Pharaoh is kind of underlying, emphasizing, well, worship for him, it's a complete, he doesn't have, he can opt out of it. He doesn't have to be any part of that. You know, to obey God, it really is an option for Pharaoh. Who's God to him? Doesn't have to really obey God. It's optional for him. And so what here is, the mindset here that's being portrayed is here's the deception here. The mindset here is well, worship is, well, it's optional. It's not something here, I mean, worship is optional. It's not something here that I necessarily need to be a part of. Well, it's kind of completely optional here. You know, and sometimes here too for us as believers here in Jesus Christ, we too can approach worship as something that's optional for us too. Because here it is, what Pharaoh wants to do is prevent God's people from going out and to be worshiping the Lord, being in his presence, because that's the place to be. That's by our very design. That's how we get connection. That's how we get peace. Even today, as we were in God's house here, praising and worshiping the Lord, right, basking in God's presence, well, the enemy wants to do whatever it takes to sway us and to say, you know what, you don't have to be in God's house. That worship in God's house is optional. It's optional. That you really don't have to be here in God's house. You could, I mean, you don't have to be in God's house. It's optional. Really, worship is optional. You know, and here's the thing. I talk to other pastors and talk to them, you know, there's people that go to church and they say, well, I am a regular family member, attender here at the church. I'll call church. And this church is my home. They'll call a church their home. And they might come to church service, but once every 4-6 weeks. Worship is optional. Optional. It's not something, well, it's something that could, well, worshiping God, being in God's house, coming together, it's not something that, you know, I have to do. It's optional. Really, do we really have to do that? Maybe that's just kind of legalism, right? God wouldn't want us to be confined by legalism, stuff like that. We're not under law. We're under grace. That's Old Testament stuff, Bob. But here we find something even in the New Testament where God says here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Here's an important thing here. It's not just Old Testament, but New Testament. God says, don't neglect meeting together. Talking about here, gathering together as God's people, gathering together to encourage one another, to praise God as collectively, as a body. Because the whole point and purpose, again, not just in Old Testament and God's delivering his people from Egypt for worship, but God says, I am saving people so they can come gather together to still worship me. It is something here, worship is not optional. Here's the real deal truth. Worship is an act of obedience. Foundationally, what we have to understand as believers in Jesus Christ, worship is not an option for us. Worship is something that we do as an act of obedience. Bottom line, foundation for us to understand and get this very truth, if we are real deal Christians, real deal followers of Jesus Christ, that worship is not an option for us. Worship is something that is done first and foremost on nothing more, nothing less than just an act of obedience. Because that's what God calls us to do. We are called to submit and surrender to Allah, because the enemy wants to prevent us from experiencing being God's, the full blessings and wonders of praising and worshiping God. And he will lie and deceive us and do whatever it takes and says, you know what? You're tired today. You've been working really hard. It's been really a long week. Just sleep in. God won't understand. It's okay. Or you know what? You really have a busy day today. A lot going on in the schedule. It'd be kind of nice if you just don't cram one other thing in your schedule. Why don't you take church out? It might make the day a little bit lighter and easier for you. And the lie that we buy into is that worship is optional. It's something that, well, we could take or leave if it kind of fits our schedule. If we feel up to it. I can't tell you how many times, even as a pastor, I feel like, oh man, I don't really want to be at church today. But I'll tell you what, every single time when I have a strong inclination, like, I don't want to be in church today, I know that there are strong things that are going to be happening in what God's going to be doing in his house. It never fails. Whenever I face this kind of like this oppression or this thing, these thoughts that press on my mind, man, I'm way too tired, I don't even want to be here. Well, you're probably saying, well, Bob, you're the pastor, you have to be here. Well, I guess that's kind of true. I guess you won't like it if I don't start showing up anymore, huh? But I'll tell you what, every single time I show up, when I feel like I feel like I just don't want to be here, and I show up, when I show up, God shows up big time. Shows up big time. And that's the work and that's the whisper of the enemy to say, it's okay. You don't have to go today. No one will miss you. It's all right. Just sleep in. Because he wants you to miss out on the blessing. He wants you to miss out on your design, your purpose that God has for your life to worship him, to gather together, to praise him. First and foremost here, worship is an act of obedience. Another deception that the enemy wants to prevent us from worshiping God. Here's another lie. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. Here now, Pharaoh is making some concessions. Okay, Moses, if you want to go and worship your God, okay, that's fine. Well, you go and worship your God. But I don't want you to go very far. You stay here under my authority. You stay here under my rule. You stay here within my kingdom here. Now, here it is. What the Pharaoh is doing here is saying, you could go worship, but I want you to be worshiping under my kingdom, my authority, within my realm. This is where I'm at. I want you still to be able to be meeting my needs over here. You could worship your God, but I want you to stay in the land under my jurisdiction, under my authority, for me, and still being all about me. He's wanting the Israelites to go worship God, but you still have to be under his authority, his Egyptian rule and his authority, and how he thinks, and the ways that he works and functions just for him. And here's something else where I kind of think and I ponder on, well, same thing that the work that the enemy does here for our lives to prevent us too from really worshiping God. He wants us to say, okay, well, you could go ahead and worship God, but here it is. You still have to stay in my kingdom authority, the way I think, the way I behave in this world. It's symbolic that you're talking about. So you're trying to worship God, but still trying to live under the same mindset and the same rule of the world. You guys tracking with me? And I'm thinking, I'm praying, well, Lord, what are the things that permeates the church, permeates me as a believer in Jesus, that actually prevents me from being a real deal worshiper of you? What's the mindset here? What's the deception? What's the deception that I can buy into here that prevents me from really worshiping you, God? And here's the thing. Here's the mindset. This mindset here that the Lord brought to my attention for our culture, especially in North America, is that worship, the church, is all about me. We fall prey, and even pastors fall prey, that we have to entertain people. We fall in this kingdom rule of entertainment and consumerism in the church. That church is all, it's for me. I didn't get anything out of church today. Or I'll come to church and I'll feel like, wow, worship was really off today. I really didn't like the songs that people were playing. And I didn't know that song. And I just really didn't feel anything. It was just, wow, Bob was really off today too. I just, wow. Was he long-winded? I do have bugs in your home. I hear it. And here it is. What we understand here, first and foremost, we come and we gather together to praise and to worship our God, our King, because it's not for us. Worship primarily focused is not just for us. Here's the truth, the real deal truth here is that worship is for God. that we are here to bless God. We are here to bring pleasure to God. That here it is, that as we seek to bring pleasure to God, as we seek to bring God to life, as we seek to bless God, that is the amazing thing. What the amazing thing that happens. God says, blessed are those who give, for they shall receive. In God's economy here, the weird thing happens. When we say, I'm here to just to receive, 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 we get nothing. But when we come into God's house and I say, I want to give, 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 give to God. I want to bless, 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 bless God. What God does, there's blessings in return. There's blessings in return. And the enemy wants to rob us. And he wants to deceive us to say, you know, no, worship is just for you. And so we get in these moods and we get in these funks when we come into God's house and say, well, I'm just not in the mood here. And my kids drive me nuts. I just need a huge argument over here. And you know, I'm feeling really down in the dumps. And Lord, I just, wow, I just really need you to bless me here today. I'm needing something from you here today. And we feel like sometimes nothing comes and we leave God's house and say, well, what was up with that? Church was a waste of time. But here it is. It's a deception. It's a deception. What we need to be doing as we come into God's house, we prepare to be prepared. Even as we're talking, as the word here today that Sue was giving, we need to be preparing to be in God's presence and prepare our hearts to come clean before God and say, here, God, I am here to bless you. I'm here to worship you. I am commanding my heart, my soul, my spirit. I will worship you in spirit and truth today. No matter what circumstances I might be under, no matter how hard or difficult things might be, Lord, I will be forcing myself. I will command my heart, my soul, my spirit to worship you, to surrender to you, to bless you today. Because God, I want first and foremost, I want to please you. I want to bless you. I don't want to just feel your love. I want you to feel my love today. I don't want to just get something from you today, Lord. I want to give you all my treasures, all my delights, all my dreams, all everything. Lord, I want you to be blessed today. Because when we do that, there's something unlocked and released that there is blessing for us. And the enemy wants to rob us of that. Wants to rob us of that and get to this, that worship is just for me here. When we start just focusing on what's in it for me and all that, we get nothing. But once we turn the table, once we understand the real deal truth that worship is for God, made by God, declared by God, saved by God, that we are designed by God to be worshipers. When we function by our design, we are blessed in return. We can't just be seeking the blessings. We got to first and foremost to be acting out in obedience to worship God just for who he is. For who he is. Even if he gives us absolutely nothing in return. To command my heart, command my soul, command my spirit. I worship you, God. I worship you. Even this morning I was struggling. All right, man, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling weary. But I'm worshiping you. I'm worshiping you. And the moment I did that, you're able to feel God's presence. God's presence. Not to receive, but just to give God. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Here's another deception. Exodus chapter 8, verse 28. Third deception here. Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you must not go very far. Here's a concession here and deception Pharaoh's trying to do here for Moses and the Israelites. Well, you can go. You can go and worship God here, but I don't want you to go very far. You might even be able to leave my land. You might not even come under my authority, my kingdom rule over here. But I don't want you to go very far because that's really uncomfortable for me. I don't want you to be going very far out of my jurisdiction, out of my realm. That's not comfortable. Don't stretch it over here. I don't want you to, I mean, don't go very far from your home. Go very far from your home, right? Because you can go worship God, but don't leave very far from home base. Don't stretch yourself too far out there. Stay home base over here. I'm not sure if I'd be comfortable with that. And here it is. I mean, he's saying here, I don't want you to get uncomfortable because I'm uncomfortable too. You go out, I mean, don't leave home. Don't leave comfort zone over here. make sure you stay close to home. Don't go very far. And here's the thing, too, is the lie of deception that we fall prey to that prevents us to be fully experiencing God and all he would have to be living out our design, to be real deal worshipers of God. We fall prey to this deception that, you know, just do what's comfortable. Just do what's comfortable to you. When you come into God's house, just do what's comfortable for you. Don't go too far. I mean, it's great that you're here, but don't step too far out of the comfort zone. Don't be stretched too far beyond what, well, home is for you. We had another word today about stepping out of our comfort, out of our boats. You know, here's God's calling here. I mean, yeah, God wants us to step out in the things that are really fearful and cause us concerns. Because as we do, especially as we step out in worship of God, things that make us uncomfortable, God shows up. God is praised. And that's our function. And that's our purpose here. Because here's the real deal truth here. The real deal truth here is that worship is radically stretching. Worship is radically stretching for us. It's not just something that we do that's comfortable. Worship is radically stretching for me. I mean, if you guys haven't noticed right now, I'm Chinese. Yeah. Surprise! Now, I come from a culture, as well as like from a church culture, where worship is, I mean, this is about as flamboyant that we get. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And I might see the toe tapping. And this is about as comfortable as I would like to get. You know, but here it is. Worship for us must be stretching. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's something that we must do, not just with our hearts. I worship God inside. But we show praise, worship, love God on the outside. And that can mean, God forbid, if we raise our hands, I tap our toes. Someday, I'm still hoping that the Lord will work me and I might dance. I'm not sure. But here it is. It's not something that we do on a show. It's not something that we do to try to, you know, earn other people's approval or, you know, make people think that, oh, we're so spiritual, we're all so connected with the Lord. But there's something that God awakes in us, that he loves us, that he adores us, that he saves us, that he calls us together as one body to worship him. That when we understand his holiness, his love, his mercies, his forgiveness, his grace in our lives, what that does inside our hearts is causes that, Lord, I want to love you, I want to adore you, I want to worship you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to praise, I want to give you thanksgiving. Just yesterday, I was watching a basketball game. My Chicago Bulls, they're in the playoffs. I know nobody's following basketball here. We're in Canada. But here it is. Here it is. You know, I go. You know, my son Justin and I were watching the Bulls, and they're playing the Brooklyn Nets, and it's down to the wire. They're playing Chicago now, and down end of the game, and the game is tied. They have to go into overtime. So if you always like guys that don't know basketball, overtime that goes another 5 minutes. And so they play for another 5 minutes, and sure enough, at the end of 5 minutes, still it's tied. Go on another, it goes in the second overtime. Another 5 minutes put up on the board. And there's their playing, and you know, and people are beginning to start getting fouled out, they're getting called out of the game here. And I'm like, oh no, you gotta be kidding. And by the end of the second quarter now, overtime, still tied. Still tied. Now they go into third overtime now. This is great, crazy. I'm telling Justin, my heart can't take this. Somebody win. And so finally by the end of the third overtime, here is what happens. The Bulls win. Now here it is. As the Bulls win, Justin and I, we just don't go, hey, that was a good game, huh? We're like, wow, they won, high five, man. Woo, go Bulls, go Bulls. Right? We're celebrating because it's inside out. But here for most of you Canadians who probably more into hockey than basketball, you're kind of, well, what's up? What's the big deal about that? Looks kind of crazy. And that's the whole point. Because as the world looks upon us as well, and they catch us high-fiving and say, praise the Lord, lifting up our hands, celebrating, maybe even doing the jig. Say, wow, what's the big deal? What's the big fuss? I just don't get it. And that's the whole point. That's what happened in Acts 2. As people are just going crazy and going nuts, they're saying, you guys are drunk. Just don't understand, what's the big deal? That's the whole point. We just believe as we praise, as we worship, as we radically stretch ourselves, as we honor, as we adore our God and King, the world will look upon us and say, well, I don't get it. What's the big point? And we call out and we proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because our God saves, our God loves, our God heals, our God restores, and we celebrate. Won't you come and celebrate with me? Because worship, real worship, real authentic worship, I don't know. For me, I'm just calling, you need to be yourself for sure. If you certainly be consistent and say, if you could watch that Bulls game or watch a hockey game without any enthusiasm, if you could go to a concert without raising or clapping your hands, at least you're being consistent by your personality, your temperament, how God has designed you to be. But I'm calling for those who celebrate. Those who really go rock as crazy in rock concerts, in hockey games, and I'm calling you to go ballistic as well in God's house. Let's raise up this roof. Let's go crazy. Let's go crazy. Amen, huh? Because we go crazy because our God is crazy over us. Crazy in love with us, and we want to show him that we are crazy in love with him too. And we want to show all the world too that we are crazy in love with our Lord, our God, because he alone is worthy of our craziness. Worthy of our craziness. Amen. But also here, fourth deception. Exodus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Go worship the Lord your God, he said. But tell me, who will be going, Moses? Moses answered, we will go with our young and old, with our sons and our daughters and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival or worship to the Lord. Verse 10, Pharaoh said, the Lord be with you if I let you go along with your women and children. Clearly you are bent on evil. No, I won't allow this. Verse 11. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for. Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Here again, Moses and just saying, hey, let my God's people go. And here Pharaoh said, okay, well, here it is. I'm not going to let everybody go. Who'd you say is going to go with you? If I let you go, who's going to go with you again? Remind me of that. Who do you want to go with you? We're taking everybody. Everybody. Women, children, the whole family's going out. And Pharaoh's like, oh, no, 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 no. Ain't going to have any of that. Because certainly you guys are bent on evil. If I let all you guys go, there's something's going to be up. I can't allow that. Let the guys go. You don't need everybody else. You don't need the women. You don't need your wives. You don't need your children. I won't let that happen. Maybe just the guys. You don't need everybody. You don't need everybody to go and worship your God. And that's the same deception that we could fall prey to as well. Is that we don't need others to worship. That you don't need other people to worship God. Especially in North America, we fall prey to this, is that you don't need others to worship. Can we put that up on the screen, please? That we don't need other people to worship God. There's people, I've talked to people outside the church saying, I just don't believe in organized religion. I don't want to go to church. I could kind of worship God on my own, and that's okay. God knows that I love him, and I really don't need to worship God. And here it is. That is a lie of the enemy. the lie of the enemy here is we fall prey to that. We think that we could worship God on our own. That's okay. But here it is. We see Old Testament, New Testament. God calls and brings people into salvation, gathering all his people. He said, I want everybody to come together and to worship me. Because here it is. Here it is. The real truth here about worship is that worship is so much better together. That we worship better together. Here's the real deal truth is that worship is better together. Because when we come together, as we worship together, Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. I want to ask, what if 200 or 300 people are gathered in Jesus' name too? How much of God's presence will be there too? God says, amen, amen, amen. God says that he will inhabit, he is enthroned amongst the praises of his people, not just the praise of one individual. That when God's people gather together, when they come together and praise and worship, get out of their comfort zones, honor and say, Lord, I'm here out of an act of obedience. I am saying, I am commanding my heart, soul to worship you. Not what I can get out of this, but just to give you blessings, just to give you glory and honor here. I am stretching myself. I am moving beyond my comfort zones. Here it is. When we do this, we worship is so much better together because God's praises, God, as we praise together, God promises to be present with us. And where God is present, there is always, always blessing. Always blessing for his people. Always favor his people. Always protection for his people. When we come and we worship together, God's presence comes here. Who wants God to be present? Oh, man, I want God so badly to be present among the praise of his people. I want people, I see a vision of ACTK that there will be a time and point that people, no matter, they come and walk through that door, they will know that God is present. They will know, they will feel his presence as we come, as we praise him, as we worship him, as we surrender to him. They will feel his presence. But here it is, we are better together because as we're better together, guess what happens? There is also edification and encouragement by the body. We just saw that here today, that it took people to come forth to share a vision, share a word, speak a word of prophecy here to our congregation. That happens because there's people here. If it was just me by myself, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. No word. Right, it's because people are together using their gifts, using their talents, using their abilities. It's together. It can't function alone. And the enemy wants to rob us of that and saying that, no, you could go it alone. But when we try to go alone, we miss out on these blessings. And I am so thankful that people are coming up and stepping up and being used by God, sharing a prayer, sharing a vision, sharing a word from the Lord. I praise the Lord. Are you not blessed by that? Amen. You know, and it's my hope and prayer that God will continue to be growing us as a church towards that area. And as we grow in that area, here's something that we talked about as our elders and leadership team here too. But what we're going to be doing, we're going to ask you guys, as God gives you a word, as God gives you a vision, if God gives you something to pray for, as God gives you a scripture, God gives you something to be sharing with the congregation, I'm asking the elders, Larry and Ross, they'll be standing over here to the side. And as I'm up on the stage over here, you don't have to come to me, but what you need to do is just go flow over to Larry and Ross and share what God has placed on your heart and your burden over here. Because what this will do here is it'll create greater flow in our worship. Because how many of you, when I come and I step down and try to hear me, you're kind of like, what's up? What's up with that? Right? But here it is. If God's word flows here, it just allows people to come forward and move in the spirit and to hear and declare God's word. Declare God's word to his congregation openly, freely, in an even flow, without pause, without reservation here. Be able to share that with Larry and Ross. Allow me greater freedom too, as I'm praying my little Chinese heart over here too. I can focus on what God would have to say too. And let the spirit flow and move. And so that's what we're going to be doing as well. And I want to encourage you to continue to step up in faith to be able to do so. Because we are just so much better together. We come and we pray together. When we pray, lay hands on you. It takes other people to do that, to pray for it. We are just so much better together. And so I want to encourage you. Here's a practical application here. I want to encourage you to come. When there's a temptation for you to come and not come, come. Because you're better together. When the enemy lies to you and goes on the deception, say, well, you know, you don't need other people to worship God. You can worship him in your car, in your home. Well, that's true. God's everywhere. But we are just so much better together. so much better together. Don't bind it. And here it is. Invite more people to come. Invite your family members to come. Invite your friends to come because we are better together. Invite people to come because more people come. God is praised. God is worshiped. God is honored. God is glorified as more people come. We are better together. Better together for God's glory and for his honor. And here's the last one. Last deception. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24 through 26. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, go worship the Lord. Even your women and your children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind. But Moses said, you must allow us to have sacrifice and burnt offerings to present the Lord our God. Verse 26, our livestock too must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are used to worship the Lord. Here is an important thing here that Pharaoh is trying to do. Okay, if I concede, if I say, okay, yeah, take everybody with you. Go take everybody with you. Go worship your God out of my territory, way far away from us. So we'll take everybody too. But here it is. Leave the cattle, leave the livestock, leave the herds here. Now, here it is. I mean, Pharaoh's not just asking the Israelites just to leave your pets here. Livestock, herds, cattle, sheep, stuff like that. That was finances. That was something that was worth something to them. That was their bank account. And so what Pharaoh is saying over here is, here's how I know that you'll come back. You can go and worship as long as I could keep your wealth, your riches here with me. Go and worship your God, but you could worship your God without this stuff. Go and worship your God here. You don't need your wealth and your riches over here. Go and worship your God. And here's the trap, right? Here's the deception, because what they're saying, well, no, we got it here. Because the deception here is that worship is free of charge. The deception that Pharaoh was trying to imply here, and Satan tries to imply that worship, it doesn't cost us anything. That it's absolutely free of charge. That there's no, in practical ways here for the herd and cattle, there's no financial ramifications. And here's the thing, as we get things straight, as the Israelites go and they worship God, as they sacrifice sheep, as they sacrifice bulls before the Lord in praise and thanksgiving and sin offerings, these are financial things. This is their livelihood we're talking about. And God said, just give me the best. God didn't say, all of it, but just give me the best. Give me the first fruits over here. And here it is. There's a financial thing. And so here's the real deal truth here is that worship is costly. Worship does cost something. It's not just free of charge over here. Worship is costly. And here it is. Our modern day conception here of this worship here, that we talk about in the church, as well as Old Testament, New Testament here, is the concept of the tithe, giving 10%, 10% of what God has blessed you with, 10% of God's blessed you into God's storehouse, so that we can continue to be worshipers of God, so that we can continue to further advance God's kingdom, so that God will be pleased and blessed, and so that we can continue to extend God's kingdom here on earth in Abbotsford. And I want to take this time right now for those of you who are faithfully tithing, faithfully giving to ACTK, thank you very much for your sacrifice, your costly sacrifice to the Lord. But I want you to know, as you sacrifice to the Lord, that lives have been changed. Life has been impacted forever. We even see, when we celebrate here, Angela, the amazing work that God has used and done for in her and through her in the children's ministry, where kids literally have come to know and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, through VBSs, through Christmas musicals, through summer programs, through our children's Sunday school. And here it is. It also took finances, your costly finances, contributions to the church, impacted and translated for eternal life. But what the enemy wants to do, he wants you to say, oh, well, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You can go and worship. Yeah, go ahead. It's a spiritual heart. Feel good about worshiping God, but there's really no cost to it. And I want to talk, if you're visiting here for the very first time, wow, this is not for you at all. Please, I am talking to my family. I am talking to my friends here at ACTK that you call Abbots of Christ the King Church home. That you have been a recipient of God's blessings, his freedom, his gift of eternal life. That you have received breakthrough, reconciliation in your marriage. You've seen your lives restored. You've seen breakthrough in your addictions. You've been delivered from the devil and his attacks in your life. You've grown deeper and more profoundly in God's love, an experience of God's love and his presence in your life. I'm talking to you. Now is your time to give. Costly, sacrificially. Because as you do so, an amazing thing happens. You are no longer bound and possessed by your possessions. You are set free. Set free to see bigger pictures and greater blessing from the Lord too. To see what your economy thinks, what God can do with it and for his glory and honor. I know you got it in you. Because I know we just paid off our roof. Okay. $42,000 we took out by faith in Jesus Christ last year. And I had no idea how on earth that the Lord would be able to provide it. And he provided it through you. So thank you. As leaders as well, we are continuing to press forward in faith by adding new staff onto our church and ministry, asking and knowing that the Lord will provide. If the Lord's called people here, God will provide as well. But that is through you. To let that translate for God's kingdom purposes as we come, as we worship, as we glorify God. There's price, there's cost. Jesus said that we cannot serve both God and money. Choose God and let the blessings flow. Be set free because the enemy wants to hold you captive. Don't fall prey to that deception. Don't fall prey to that deception. It's not how much you make. It's not how much you give. It's just the very fact that you give that will set you free.